Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection. I am your host, Jeremy Moss, tonight, going solo as Chris is not joining us this evening, but I felt like it would be a great time to kind of just dissect, overanalyze, and take a look back, or for anybody who hasn't been reading or listening, look into the Mountain West Conference Media Days that took place in sweltering, lovely Las Vegas on Monday and Tuesday of this week. And the typical news comes out. You got the conference pecking order, who's going to go what, where and when and what division, who's going to win the league title, player of the year, league title, all that, league players, all conference players, if I could spit my words out right, all that sort of good stuff. And we'll just start with that stuff because that's what most people want to hear about. Where's my team going to be at? Are they going to have a chance to win? Who's my favorite player make the all-conference team? Did he get MVP? All that sort of stuff. But it came out to be basically the Boise State Broncos are projected to win the whole conference. Essentially, they earned 40 of the 41 first place votes in the Mountain Division. Only newcomer Utah State earned the other vote. And then on the western side, Fresno State easily took over San Diego State and San Jose State. Both of those schools had a vote each, and Fresno had 39 of 41. And basically, Boise State edged out Fresno for a two-point edge to paper champions, as we should call it, for the Mountain West Division title, because there was that inaugural title game this year, which details still forthcoming, which is kind of a disappointment. But Boise State, and it makes sense. It's not a surprise. Most people like Boise, like Fresno. I'm probably leaning a bit toward Fresno just because they get Boise at home, and Boise State has to go, obviously, to Fresno, to San Diego State, and I should have their schedule for anybody, but I believe also to Nevada, if I'm correct on that. But they basically have a very difficult road to stretch on their schedule for this upcoming season. That's kind of where, if they're going to trip up, the league is, that's going to be in one of those couple of games, because they're not in the old whack where they could win 40-0 or 40-10, bench starters. And also, they don't have Kellen Moore, amazing quarterback, who was the FBS all-time winner for wins under a quarterback, if that makes sense. Most wins ever for a QB, I should say, if I'm going to speak more clearly. But yeah, those road games that I have here, I wanted to pull it up to get the last one to make sure. But they're obviously the league champions are, as I already said before, projected to win the league. Yeah, Utah State's the other game, my mistake. They get Nevada at home. They also got to go to BYU, which is, doesn't really matter. It's not a league game. But that's the way it is. And then if you look at it as a team, they're only received two players on the all-conference list. And that, I should have everything up in front of me. But basically, if we go to the all-conference list, Fresno State's David Carr, one player of the year for offense. And defense was a surprise because it was not DeMarcus Lawrence as I expected, and I think a lot of people did. However, instead it was a Fresno sweep for offense and defense. I got a tweet about, it's not a sweep. New Mexico earned the special teams player of the year with Chase Clayton as return man, but Darren Smith edged out, I'm only consumed DeMarcus Lawrence for the defensive player of the year. So Fresno earned seven players on the all-conference first team. Boise got two, a pair of offensive linemen, Charles Leno, who was in Vegas, and then Matt Paradise, another offensive lineman. That's only, three, DeMarcus Lawrence, my apologies there. Three, two offense and one defense. But yet it kind of goes to what people will tell me online. It's a team game. It's not one or two players who make the list, who make a team. You can't, just because you have seven first-team players like Fresno doesn't mean they're the better team. However, it doesn't hurt either if you have nearly 10 players on that list of by the media who projected or predicted or selected this best team for the Mountain West. It's pretty big. Outside of Fresno State was seven. It was San Jose State who kept next with five. And it's a soft five because they do have the replace kicker, Austin Lopez. Even though kicking is a huge part of the game, I guess it'll count. We'll go with it. Whatever. We'll just run with it. Saying they got five. And then the only other, nothing else big about that. The one thing I did notice, the defensive back position is pretty loaded because you got, obviously, you got Darren Smith, who was a preseason player of the year, and Nate Bear from San Diego State, Ben Wickire from San Jose State, and LJ Jones from Fresno. But then you're missing Blair Burns from Wyoming. I was thinking, why is he not on the list? And you look at what those guys have done on the list. It's like, okay, it makes sense because Burns was a 2011 freshman All-American. Very good. One of the few bright spots on defense for Wyoming last year. And he was their best hope because they got zero players on the list. And the quarterback spot, geez, you got, we already discussed it a million times, but David Fells, Brett Smith again, very good. Cody Fajardo, who's on the Maxwell or O'Brien list, one of those preseason award watch lists. But that's kind of the way it shook out. No skill players for Boise State, even though you got Matt Miller, should be pretty, is a good player. Just to compete with Noel Grisby and Devontae Adams, it's very difficult to do so. And then you even have quarterback Joe Southwick, as we mentioned, quarterback is very deep position. J.I.G. at running back, got to prove himself a little bit. He could be there at the end since they do more than the first team for the postseason awards. Outside of that, nothing really surprising. Colorado State got Weston Richburg, which is no shock. Tyler Larson, Utah State, made the first team for those are a pair of offensive linemen for those who want to keep track of the awesome offensive line stats or statistics or look at the big guys up front who really make the team go and make the running game work for everybody. But it's kind of way kind of played out for the players here. But back to it's kind of getting back to the selection of where everybody was picked by what teams. One thing that surprised me quite a bit was that New Mexico, I know me and Chris kind of hype up New Mexico, close to a bowl game or right on the cusp there. They were picked sixth out of the Mountain Division behind Colorado State. Not even close. New Mexico earned only 63 points, and that was 11th out of 12, only besting Hawaii by 4 votes. Even UNLV, who got smoked by Hawaii last year, won one less game. New Mexico won 3. UNLV won a pair of games. Somehow, New Mexico doesn't get as many votes to them, despite if you look what Bob Davie did in year one with Cole Gauchy, Casey Carrier, fifth top five offense in the country, running the ball 300 yards per game. They're still defense, obviously terrible. New Mexico was more competitive, had 5 other games within a touchdown last year, but they're still, it's no respect. Essentially, there's an article up on the website, mwcconnection.com, which I don't think I mentioned at the beginning, and that would be a good thing to discuss or talk about, at least where to find stuff in this show as well. But they basically, there's an article I kind of referenced from the Albuquerque Journal, saying they need respect. They have to prove it. And it makes it like Casey Carrier was there. He's like, he's not surprised by the pick, kind of paraphrasing here. But I think next year they'll think about it and they're not going to be in this position. And then you got senior linebacker Dallas Bilema basically said, we're a competitive team. We earned a lot of games last year, but just to come out with victories in those games, it will change a lot of the polls. That's the thing, you got to win the games. Even though they had a handful of games that were within one touchdown, got to win the games. They almost beat Boise State last year, but they did lose these other teams, and they still only won a handful of 3 games, and that's still obviously terrible for any football team. And there, we'll see. If Cole Gauchy, like I mentioned, we discussed plenty of times, he can throw a bit more better, they could have a chance. However, one thing I was doing a little bit of research, apparently Gauchy was a pro-style quarterback out of high school, so it's kind of odd to see him, even though he was known for speed, that his throwing has not been the best. So if that can change and they can get a few more wins, heck, I think they could be on a cusp of bowl game. And I kind of thought they would have been ahead of Colorado State, who comes in at 5th, because their quarterback position is still up in the air. They deal with a bit better running back situation there, but their wide receivers, not much there. And I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because CSU has proven it more recently and Jim McElwain's heck of a coach, as is Davey. But seeing the vote discrepancy, it's quite a bit. But quite a bit more than I thought that would have been the case. I thought they would have been 5th. But if you think about it, if you go by the past couple of years, in one thing, we see New Mexico improving. But flip side, all the media say, well, they need to prove it to me. They need to be better. They can't have these 2-win seasons. And I kind of joked that still the ghost of Mike Loxley punishing or penalizing or haunting over, looming over that program. And we'll see with this year if they can surpass that, which I think they could. And as for the rest, I kind of think Air Force might be a bit too high. And it could be the same opposite effect as New Mexico. Air Force is always competitive with their run-based option attack. Yeah, this year they're bringing another second straight year of a new quarterback. They lost Connor Dietz from quarterback last year. Cody Getz isn't their running back anymore, so they got John Lee. Should be okay. Ty McArthur's a great kind of a jack of all trades player. He'll run the ball, get some quick passes, but they weren't that good last year. Kind of took a step back, and I'm kind of surprised they're at 3, and it's quite a pretty big margin. Not that the vote points matter, but difference between the Utah State second and Wyoming in that division is pretty big gap, and I could see Wyoming finishing third. I could see Air Force finishing fourth, New Mexico finishing fifth. It's kind of off perception history, and these polls will revisit them once the season ends and say, aha, you were wrong. You were terrible. These people didn't know what they're talking about. And then on the other side, if we go to the West Division again really quick, as far as I know, San Diego State, San Jose State, which are within 10 points, and then Nevada, which got quite a bit. I was on a radio show in Colorado Springs State talking about kind of Nevada for getting too much hype. But if you look at the division, on their side, they're perfectly fine where they're at. I don't think UNLV will catch them, but I don't think Nevada is going to be as good as San Jose State. Nevada is going to have the same pistol offense. Cody Fajardo there. They do have a new running back, a few new key players there. But so I think that 4 spot is where they should be. The point total is kind of a lot, but I think a bowl game is kind of where they're going to be at. And as for, I'm not going to get into any dark horse. We'll do that later once I have my counterpart with me here to kind of go over maybe some special dark horse picks or something along those lines where we say, hey, this team might come out of nowhere to win or improve, that sort of stuff. As for other stuff at Media Day, let's go to the title game information, because you would think perfect timing. You're by yourself, not by yourself, but there's other Media Days going on. I wrote a big article and I've got questions about it. What about the title game? What are they going to do with the title game? We don't know what's going on. We still don't know what's going on, which is a real shame, because this was the time to make that announcement. Because Craig Thompson, I don't have exactly what he said at the his own podium session, but he did speak with the Idaho Statesman, basically saying they're negotiating still with CBS. They have a couple draft contracts up, but nothing finalized. And with that, my assumption, it's going to be on a CBS or CBS Sports Network. And kind of tinkering and looking at the future of the times and dates and everything of those conference title games. SEC plays at 4 Eastern. I doubt they're going to move that game to complement or make room for the Mountain West. So if it's a lead-in, Mountain West, a lead-in to the SEC game, and it's on over-the-air CBS. And I think over-the-air CBS, either before or after that SEC game's most ideal situation. Get the most eyeballs, more people see it. If it's after, people hang around. If it's before, they'll tune at the end. Or at least it's football. They'll want to see what's going on. But if it's the early game, that means it's a 12:30 Eastern kick. That's 10:30 Mountain. 9:30 Pacific if it's, say, San Jose State or Fresno hosted for that very extremely early kick. And that's not going to happen. If it's CBS, Saturday night's a wasteland for scripted TV in the fall. College football going on. There's other title games. ESPN, ABC has, and Fox all have combination of Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC. I'm assuming the American Conference is going to have one of their high-profile games end of the year, depending on the time. Also, the Big 12 will have one of their big games prime time, I'm assuming, at least try to. So there'll be a lot of competition, but if it's on CBS and it's after, that means it would be like an 8 Eastern kick, 6-5-6 West Coast time, depending what Mountain or Pacific they're in. That would be ideal. But then I could see the worst-case scenario. We're on CBS Sports Network. If on Friday night, not a big deal. It's just a Mac to go against Mac. But hey, who doesn't love their Mac-tion and everything? If it's Jordan Lynch in Northern Illinois, that game last year with Kent State was, I think, a couple overtimes, if I recall. It's a pretty solid game. And people don't know where CBS Sports Network's on the dial. They don't get it as easily as ESPN. But that's second worst. The worst is sticking to that 4 or 5 Eastern on CBS Sports Network going up against the whatever else is going on, SEC title game and everything else. So I'm just shocked that there's no decision. I think it's kind of, I don't want to say call them out, say it's stupid, but you would think you know this date's coming, you'd have something coming on. The season's a month away, essentially. Almost 4.5 weeks now? We're almost to the 1st of August, and games start the last 29th of August, I think, is opening weekend, that Thursday night. And, man, they don't have anything yet done. I just assume it's with CBS because they own the rights, and that's all he mentioned in the brief quote from the Idaho Statesman. But man, gotta get something done, Craig. I don't know what the deal is on getting it. I can't say it's all up to him, but school presidents, ADs, whoever's dealing with it, get it done to let people know. Not that planning is a big deal. It's at the highest rated team of the BCS, but still, you want to know how to watch it if it's on TV and all sorts of stuff like that. You want to make sure that's able to be done and watched in by as many people as possible. You don't want to, oh, here's 4 days before, here's the game, and people who are out of the area, out of the country, not country, but out of the Mountain West area and want to check in some good football, because my assumption both teams who are there will be ranked or close to it. So that was, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that hurt the media days, that there was no big announcement with that. Other stuff that was going on, there's talk about Derek Carr coming back. Apparently, last season, he was playing with a hernia injury all year. He tore part of his abdomen in the fall and fall camp. Played all year. Said it hurt when it sneezed. They couldn't even use all of their like playbook, like zone read, roll out, which apparently is a pretty big deal in their offense, he was saying. And he didn't, Fresno was not able to use any of that. And look how good they still were last year. They were, they would share a conference title with San Diego State and Boise State. And Carr put up amazing numbers. Imagine if he could on that play action, roll out, zone read. If that's really the case and they implement that and it's as big as a part of the offense that he says it is, and even though they have new running backs, Josh Quezada and I space on the other player, he's just a BYU transfer, I recall, who's coming in, he'll at least split 50-50. That can make them, got Devontae Adams, Isaiah Burst, they have a great offensive line, I'm assuming again, as it did last year, and then heck, man, that could make them very dangerous against any team, Boise State especially, who they're going to get at home and maybe get a chance to beat them. Oh, one thing I wanted to touch on as well, I just realized that when I was thinking about this the other day, Fresno State and expectations, just kind of think with them being the division projected to go to the title game, winning their division, anytime they've had any sort of expectations, they've just choked. So I recall years ago when they had David Carr, Derek's older brother, went on to be number one pick in NFL draft, Texans, and kind of career slowed out because they didn't protect him and he got bashed in 10 times a game. But there's that game, I think they were, is before Utah made the BCS, I forget the exact year, but they hosted Boise State undefeated. Like, oh, we're gonna beat Boise State. They just got ran off the field like nothing. Boise State just smoked them. So that's where I'm wary of Fresno State a little bit, because anytime they've had any expectations, they've blew it and never had an expectation. Like this year, they won, or last year, win the conference title. They go to the Hawaii Bowl, get smoked by SMU. Ridiculous. So not that there's pressure on Carr itself, but the program itself, because the history, they've beaten Boise State once in the past decade. I think it was 2005. And they get them at home this year. Everything sets up perfectly for them to have a great year and win that game and host a title game. But there's just, the fans are going to be all over them. They meet like, hey, your team never beat Boise State since this year. Anytime you've had anything good coming in, you've basically choked essentially the team. So it'll be that additional pressure that way. But then Carr's like, well, if we win, we'll be fine. Not a big deal. Blah, blah, blah. That sort of stuff. So that was kind of interesting to, or just recall about the history of the program and where they've been. And then that injury to Carr all of last year. We knew something wasn't right because he had surgery in January, but to play that well and be injured, geez, if he's going to be injury free this year, then they're going to be possibly finally exceed those expectations. And then some other tidbits I found throughout. Apparently, Charles Leno, who's a Boise State offensive lineman, feels their offense will be, quote, very explosive this year. Okay, offensive lineman saying your offense explosive. Okay, whatever. They were middle of the pack last year. They were 50th in scoring offense, about 30 a game, which is well below the Boise State's past history, where they were, outside of last year, top 5, I believe, or top 10 at worst since 08. Scoring 40 points a game, crushing the WAC. Level of competition has something to do with it. But if it's, again, it's kind of the Fresno thing. If their offense is that good with Matt Miller, they have Gabe Blenahan back for tight end, who missed most of last year with a quad or hamstring injury. If he's back, another weapon on there. If J.I.G. can be the man they think he can be at running back, if he's going to take 100% of carries or be the main guy and have a nice complement backup to him. I don't know, just offense line. Their offense line is going to be good and gelled. And if Southwick takes the next step, hey, Leno might be right, but it's always kind of interesting, funny. My thing, the offense lineman, offense will be great. Just block the guy in front of you, protect the quarterback, open up a hole for your running back, and you'll be good. And some other stuff I found that interesting, because at these media days, it's always these random questions. People dig and go back years. And one thing I found out quite unique was David Fells. I forgot he went to went to Nevada. Was the redshirt freshman, backed up Colin Kaepernick. Wasn't really wanted to be in the pistol, or saw how Kaepernick amazing is going to be. He's like, I'm jetting, I'm out of here. So he transfers. That's not the big story. The kind of big deal is when he was at the junior college, he was going to go to Wyoming, and head coach Dave Christensen was like, hey, come on, but walk on, and essentially be an insurance policy for Brett Smith, who's quarterback now and obviously great in his own right. But if they had both those guys, whew, quite interesting. But when Fails was going to through his recruitment after JUCO, he's like, I want to play Nevada, or play at Nevada and play at Wyoming. End up San Jose State, got his wish because they're coming to the Mountain West. He goes to Reno, so that'll be kind of, he got part one of his goal. They do play Wyoming in the Northern California area, but that's heck, you still get them on the roster, on your own field. But that's kind of, I didn't realize that Wyoming tidbit, and that was quite interesting. He's like, hey, you can come walk on for Wyoming. It's like, I think part of it was when Austin Carter Samuels, that mystery transfer, I think ended up at Vanderbilt, if I recall. But they needed another quarterback to go with Smith, and hey, we'll bring in this Fells guys, but walk on, no scholarship. And he's like, see, I'm not doing that. And now he's a future top NFL draft pick. So that was just kind of an odd tidbit I found. And then San Diego State, let's kind of get to the leaders here. They brought Nate Bear, their safety, and they have high goals, as they should. They've actually had good seasons. They had three straight years of going to a bowl game, winning record, conference title last year shared, beat Boise State last year at the Smurf Turf, which is very difficult to do. And every team has their goals, and he kind of came out publicly, or no, not kind of, he did. The team has higher expectations this year, and conference title should always be a goal for, I would assume, every team, even Mexico, CSU. You want to try to win your division or conference. However, he's thinking bigger into the BCS. And when I first glanced, I chuckled, whatever, BCS. But if you think about it, if you win the league in the Mountain West, you're almost for certain, not guaranteed, but very good chance of going to a BCS game. Look what Utah has done, TCU, Boise State. They've either been in the discussion or made it to a BCS bowl game. So if they can win the conference, they have a good shot. But then again, you got to win the conference. And they also do have a tough non-conference schedule with at Ohio State. They host Oregon State, so those are some pretty difficult, at least Ohio State being potential number one team this year, something along those lines, one of the best teams in the country with Urban Meyer, and that's probably not going to be a win. So if they can't get into one loss, because it was proven last year with what Northern Illinois did, and they do have the extra game, which would probably be against Boise State in the title game, perhaps. They do play Boise this year. They got some decent good games at San Jose State, got Fresno, got Nevada on the schedule. They can't have more than one loss. They got to go 12-1, win the conference title game, obviously, and just lose to Ohio State. And it's a possibility, but when I first looked at it, I just kind of chuckled, but then kind of second level thinking, okay, yeah, that's a possibility. They've had three good years. They got Adam Wayma, a very good quarterback, Adam Dingwell there, quarterback who took over partway last year for Ryan Katz, who injury, broken ankle, I think it was, something long, broken ankles, torn something. So that was just kind of reading through, just seeing what people say is always a cool thing too. And there was also Jim McElwain. We'll kind of get to his quotes a little bit here. Colorado State, as we mentioned, picked fifth to come in their division. He kind of here's exactly what he says is, from our past seasons, I can understand how they can pick us fifth, but from inside the team or inner workings, we feel as though we should prove ourselves and become better than fifth at the end of the season, being on top. Kind of another example of, we're going to try to win the league regardless of what people perceive us on the outside. And he wanted to also say, hopefully some of our guys take note and say, well, that's the perception, because sometimes perception is reality, and that's the case. Colorado State has not been that great. And that's always, you want to have your team fired up and say the right, get the quotes out there. Hey, we're fifth. We're better than this. We're not going to take this crap. We're going to do better once we get into our game. We're going to go on the road to Alabama, not lose by 6 or 7 touchdowns as the projected spread is right now. And so, yeah, if he can get his guys fired up, stuff happens. Who knows if they'll win or do whatever, if they can get to 500, which would be tough for them. But you always want to see a coach have your back, and that's always going to be the case. So he's ever going to say, oh, we're fifth, whatever, not a big deal. We're just blah, blah, blah. We'll win four games, be a little bit better. No, they want to get to a bowl game, get better, get their team to a conference title, do what they can, and that's basically, then all that is what McElwain is saying there. And what I was going to get to before I mentioned McElwain, there was some uniform fashion update, fashion alert for everybody. Boise State is having a new helmet. It's minor change. All it is, it's like those new kind of those lacrosse style helmets, and so they got the little kind of the air, the crossing kind of, I guess not an air vent, but kind of like the opening on the top of the head. The Bronco is a little bit smaller, and this will go for if they'd rather do blue, black, or white with a stormtrooper look. It'll all be, or white helmet, whether they do stormtrooper or not, which is an awesome look, or the all black, which is also very nice. Maybe they should try orange helmets this year. That would be interesting. But basically, the Bronco's a tiny bit smaller on the right side. The number on the left side, that's kind of all what it is. Nothing big deal. And then Nevada, they're going permanent. I thought this was a one-time deal, but they're going all white helmet. Not all white, but a white helmet with the blue wolf pack on the front. Blue outline gray. And they also are debuting a new helmet next month at their... most all these schools have these little... Not little, but these little things to help people, as I say it again, little clinics for the ladies to come out, learn about football, or ones to know about football, know the team, the football 101 type of clinic type of deals. And August 2nd, that's when that, which is in next week, is when they'll announce or unveil the new uniform, which they'll be wearing as well. So that's kind of your fashion alert for the media days for what's going on. As for any other news, don't think there's anything else. New Mexico needs to prove it. We already mentioned that. I'm kind of reading through some posts we put up. David Fells kind of mentioned the pressure of San Jose State. Kind of, we touched on Fells earlier. But San Jose State has never been good outside of him coming there last year. They've been terrible, and they jumped out to 11 wins. And he's kind of like, well, if we win, we'll be fine. That's all he kind of said about all the there's always pressure to win. It's whether it doesn't really matter. How many wins you're going to... Well, not how many wins. That's always important. But he's like, there's pressure regardless. You got to win. Whether you're supposed to be good or not good, there's still pressure to win. And that's... I guess that's all I kind of got for the media days. We already went to the polls. I just... My main thoughts are just disappointed that there's nothing from Craig Thompson about the title game. Figured, time to do it. Do it now. But he just... Whatever reason, it's not set up. It's not done. It's not good to go. But hopefully, I'm hoping that's within 2 weeks, which puts us about 3 weeks out of the season. Like I said before, I just don't want it to be a week before all the details come out, which is probably not going to happen, but you never know. It's my worst case scenario. And the only other thing Craig Thompson mentioned is that the new playoff coming up, that Mountain West does have a better chance to be in there because there are four teams instead of two. And then he always assumes, based off history, there will always be a team in one of these now called New Year's Six Bowl games. Which, if I'm correct, Rose, Sugar, all the BCS games in the past, so Rose, Fiesta, Sugar, Orange going west-east there. Then add the Cotton and the now Peach Bowl, former Chick-fil-A Bowl. So it's a good assumption that the league champion will get in one of those big money games. Just got to be the best team out of the other group of five, the segregated group of five, which includes the American Conference or Big East slash Conference USA hybrid. So that's kind of the other news. And also, if they're good at 12 teams. If BYU comes talking, obviously he'll open up discussions and kind of see where that could fit in. And that's kind of all I got out. We got a huge 30-story update on our story stream at mwcconnection.com. And yeah, I just check a lot of it's video just from the conference. So it's not like, oh, it's all this writing we've done, but it's a lot of video stuff. So it's nothing too long that we pulled from the, folks at the Mountain West Digital Network. Oh, also, that reminds me really quick. Not since our last show, but the other big news was the Mountain West Network will broadcast 5 games online. Nothing. The best game on there is Wyoming at Fresno. Couple UNLV games. San Diego State's home opener against Eastern Illinois will be on there. Or Eastern Illinois, I should say. However, the big news is that the Digital Network will carry all 10 Root Sports games. If you live outside the Rocky Mountain region, basically if your area doesn't cover the game, some of these regional networks, it'll be shown on Rocky Mountain, probably the Northwest, but there's Root Sports Pittsburgh, all these Fox Sports, local channels. If it's not in your area, if it's not on your cable or satellite provider, or a local channel, which I don't really see how that's going to happen. Because if you're getting on local channel, you're probably in the Root Sports region anyways. It'll be able to be seen on this digital network, which is partnered with Campus Insiders. It'll be all for free. As far as I can tell, it costs nothing. You don't have to do the off. I can never say the word, but basically say that you're a cable subscriber. Oftentimes, I think it's called. So basically, you know, when you log in, if you have HBO Go, you got to log in with your DirecTV, Xfinity, Comcast, Dish Network login. Doesn't seem that's the case here. So basically, anybody who wants to see these five games and also those Root Sports games will be able to see them. And there could be more added on later, possibly those FCS games. But the games really quick are Eastern Illinois at San Diego State, Central Michigan at UNLV, UNLV at Fresno, San Jose State at UNLV. So Rebel folks, you got three games here. And then also the biggie game, which could have some implications on November 9th, is Fresno State at Wyoming. So any other Hawaii games will probably be like their normal Oceanic pay-per-view. So that wraps up. I'm pretty sure I probably missed something from Media Days. But like again, check out our story stream. It's going to be on the front page for a while. Got a few more stories coming out. Just kind of perusing what the local guys down there, since I was unable to make it this year, to see what they're saying. But basically, that just kind of wraps it up today. I want to thank everybody for just hanging out, listening to me ramble by myself for about 30 minutes or so. Hopefully, it sounded okay. And to make sure to check out MWCConnection.com. Check out our show on SoundCloud, iTunes. Hey, give us a review. 1 star, 5 star, whatever. Do something like that on iTunes. But just want to thank everybody for listening and stay tuned for our next show, which I believe will be doing our San Diego State preview this week.